जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीर वनचारी। यमुना तीर वनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद।
श्री कृष्ण
हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। जय राधा माधव राधा माधव राधे। जय पंचतत्व जय पंचतत्व जय पंचतत्व जय पंचतत्व
जय पंचतत्व जय पंचतत्व।
ಪ್ರಹ್ಲಾದ ನರಸಿಂಹ ಜಯ ಪ್ರಹ್ಲಾದ ನರಸಿಂಹ ಪ್ರಹ್ಲಾದ ನರಸಿಂಹ ಜಯ ಪ್ರಹ್ಲಾದ ನರಸಿಂಹ ಜಯ ಜಯ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ 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 ಜಯ ಜಯ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ
ಜಯ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ
ನಿತ್ಯ ಗೌರ ಹರಿ ಬೋಲ್ ಹರಿ ಬೋಲ್ ಹರಿ ಬೋಲ್ ನಿತ್ಯ ಗೌರ ಹರಿ ಬೋಲ್
ಹರಿ ಬೋಲ್ ಹರಿ ಬೋಲ್ ಹರಿ
ಗೌರ ಪ್ರೇಮಾನಂದೇ ಜಯಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪಾದ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿವ್ರಾಜಕಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರ ಸತ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಡಿವೈನ್ ಗ್ರೇಸ್ ಅಭಯ ಚರಣಾರವಿಂದ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಶ್ರೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಕೀ ಜಯ ಅನಂತ ಕೋಟಿ ವೈಷ್ಣವ ವೃಂದ ಕೀ ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಅಷ್ಟ ಸಖಿ ವೃಂದ ಕೀ ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಪಂಚತತ್ವ ಕೀ ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀಲ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಆಚಾರ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ಕೀ ಜಯ ನಿತಾಯ ಗೌರ್ ಪ್ರೇಮಾನಂದೇ All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha ಶ್ರೀಚೈತನ್ಯಮನೋಭೀಷ್ಟಂ ಸ್ಥಾಪಿತಂ ಯೇನ ಭೂತಲೆ ಸ್ವಯಂ ರೂಪಕದಾ ಮಹ್ಯಂ ದದಾತಿ ಸ್ವಪದಾಂತಿಕಂ ವಂದೇಹಂ ಶ್ರೀಗುರು ಶ್ರೀಯುತಪದಕಮಲಂ ಶ್ರೀಗುರುನ್ ವೈಷ್ಣವಾಂಶ್ಚ ಶ್ರೀರೂಪಂ ಸಾಗ್ರಜಾತಂ ಸಹಗಣರಘುನಾಥಾನ್ವಿತಂ ತಂ ಸಜೀವಂ ಸಾದ್ವೈತಂ ಸಾವಧೂತಂ ಪರಿಜನಸಹಿತಂ ಕೃಷ್ಣಚೈತನ್ಯದೇವಂ ಶ್ರೀರಾಧಾಕೃಷ್ಣಪಾದಾಂ ಸಹಗಣಲಲಿತಾ ಶ್ರೀವಿಶಾಖಾನ್ವಿತಾಂಶ್ಚ ನಮೋ ಓಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪಾದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣಪ್ರೇಷ್ಠಾಯ ಭೂತಲೆ ಶ್ರೀಮತೇ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾಂತಸ್ವಾಮಿನಿತಿ ನಾಮಿನಿ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸಾರಸ್ವತೇ ದೇವೇ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಚಾರಿಣೆ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶತಾರಿಣೆ ವಾಂಛಾಕಲ್ಪತರುಭ್ಯಶ್ಚ ಕೃಪಾ ಸಿಂಧುಭ್ಯ ಏವ ಚ ಪತಿತಾನಾಂ ಪಾವನೇಭ್ಯೋ ವೈಷ್ಣವೇಭ್ಯೋ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧರ ಶಿವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತ ವೃಂದ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ ಜಯ ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಜಯ ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಜಯಾದ್ವೈತ ಚಂದ್ರ ಜಯ ಗೌರಭಕ್ತ ವೃಂದ ಜಯ ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಜಯ ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಜಯಾದ್ವೈತ ಚಂದ್ರ ಜಯ ಗೌರಭಕ್ತ ವೃಂದ ಜಯ ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಜಯ ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಜಯಾದ್ವೈತ ಚಂದ್ರ ಜಯ ಗೌರಭಕ್ತ ವೃಂದ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಐ ಆಮ್ ವೆರಿ ಹ್ಯಾಪಿ ಟು ಬಿ ವಿತ್ ಆಲ್ ಆಫ್ ಯು ಇನ್ ದಿ ಒಟಾವಾ ರೀಜನ್ and maybe some other places around. Today is the holy appearance day of Srila Advaita Acharya. We are celebrating it tomorrow here in India and you are doing it today. Another little tricky issue is that it's early morning there for you and it's evening for me. So when I chant the Maha Mantra, I was wondering whether I should chant in the morning tune or the evening tune. So these are some of the issues that modern technology, dilemmas that modern technology brings. So I sung it in an in-between tune. So in any case, I'm very happy to be with all of you. Lakshmi Moni Mataji is very kind upon me, engages me in service somehow or the other, even at various other occasions, urges me to speak. So somehow or the other, I try to read something and speak a little bit about Krishna consciousness. Advaita Acharya, I'm sure we're all very familiar with him, but also for the benefit of those, because this is also going out on Facebook, I believe. So for those of you who are not so familiar, and also for those who are regular devotees, I'll have to mix it up to make something very simple and also something suitable for the regular devotees. So we all know that before we chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we chant the Panchatattva Mantra. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar, Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. So the reason for that is that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates, who are collectively called the Pancha Tattva, the five principles of the Absolute Truth, are extremely merciful. Even though the process of self-realization in this age of Kali is very easy, namely just the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, yet because generally people are so fallen in this age of Kali, it is very hard for us to really take shelter of the holy name in a serious way. So one needs mercy even to be able to not just have the opportunity to hear and chant the holy name, but also to do it seriously enough. And that is where the Panchatattva come in. So as you're all aware, before we chant our rounds, before every round that we chant, we also chant the Panchatattva Mantra. That is to facilitate attentive and devoted chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So we invoke the mercy of the Panchatattva before we can actually chant the holy names. So the Panchatattva, they are very important for us, because in I just told you about the heavy rain, so we had some thunder clapping just now. So much like the material world, most unexpectedly, thunder claps. So the Panchatattva therefore are very important for us. And the holy place, the holy abode of the Panchatattva is Sri Mayapur Dham, which is why I glorified them at the end of the kirtan, Panchatattva and Sri Radha Madhava, because that is where the mercy of Gauranga Mahaprabhu primarily is. Of course, Mahaprabhu's mercy lies anywhere where the chanting of the holy name goes on. Nevertheless, Mayapur is very special, and it is important for us as devotees to be familiar with all the five personalities in this Panchatattva mantra. It's their categories, their individuals, and in some cases they also represent a category. Like we say Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. So Gaura Bhakta Vrinda means the entire community of devotees of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So we're actually begging for the mercy of not just Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita Acharya, Shivas Thakur and Gadadhar Pandit, but also for all the devotees of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So the process of devotional service is very much dependent upon mercy. It's unlike the process of Jnana or Karma or Yoga, where the practitioners pretty much depend on their own endeavor, their own strength, their own austerities, their learning and so on. So let's just see what Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in the Chaitanya Charitamrita says about these five before we go on to Advaita Acharya specifically. So when I chanted the Mangalacharan or the invocation prayers just before the talk, one of the verses I chanted was Pancha Tattvatmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakhyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam. Namami means I offer obeisances. So I offer obeisances to whom? Kaviraj Goswami says, to Krishna, Krishnam, to Krishna, who Pancha Tattva Atmakam, who has manifested himself and is non-different from five forms. And those five forms are the Pancha Tattva. So who are they? There's Bhakta Rupa, the form of the devotee, which is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because Krishna appears in the guise of his devotee as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Rupa means the form. So Krishna has come in the form of his devotee, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Although Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is directly the Supreme Lord, but he acts as if he is the devotee to teach us how to perform devotional service. So he is Bhakta Rupa. And then Swarupakam. So Bhakta Swarupa. So there's Bhakta Rupa and there's Bhakta Swarupa. So Swarupa refers to the expansion, which is Nityananda Prabhu. So the first expansion, Krishna's first expansion is Balaram, and Nityananda Prabhu is none other than Balaram. Then we have Bhakta Avataram. So avatar means the incarnation. He is the incarnation of the devotee. This refers to Advaita Acharya. Then Bhaktakhyam. Akhyam refers to is called as or is said to be. Bhakta. So devotee, the pure devotee of the Lord. And that is Srivas Thakur. And finally, there is Bhakta Shaktikam. Shakti means the energy, the internal energy of the Lord. And that is represented in the Pancha Tattva by Gadadhar Pandit, who is the incarnation of Srimati Radharani, or specifically of the halo of Srimati Radharani. So these five personalities together constitute the Pancha Tattva, the five truths in one. So the five in one absolute truth. So Krishna manifests himself in this form, this five in one absolute truth, and he is non-different from them. So of these five, three are in one category. Okay, let me use a big term, ontological category. Okay, ontological means that in terms of existence or reality. And the two others are in two different categories. Gadadhar Pandit being Shakti or energy is called Shakti Tattva. So Srimati Radharani and her expansions fall in the category of Shakti Tattva. And then there is Srivas Thakur, who represents the pure devotee. And the pure devotees are generally, as we see, jivas. Not always, but they are mostly jivas. So they are called Jiva Shakti. But the first three, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Acharya, they are neither Shakti Tattva nor Jiva Tattva. They are directly the Supreme Lord. So they are called Vishnu Tattva. So they are Prabhu. All three are Prabhus. Prabhus means master, means the Lord. And of them, Kaviraj Goswami has explained in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Acharya are Prabhus. So although all three are Prabhus or masters, but there is still some distinction, because Mahaprabhu is Mahaprabhu. He is the great. Maha means great, the great master. So Advaita Acharya and Nityananda Prabhu, they consider themselves servant of this Mahaprabhu. Even though they are themselves the Supreme Lord, they are in the Prabhu or Vishnu Tattva category, they still consider themselves the servant of Advaita Acharya. And they act like that. Mahaprabhu doesn't like it, but what can be done? That's he has to bear it. But at times he offers respects to them, actually, because they are his superiors, they're much older than him, but he tries, they actually, because he gives them so much respect, both Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Acharya, somehow the other try to perform some tricks by which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will deal with them in such an intimate way that indicates that he has accepted them as his servants. So we'll describe briefly one pastime towards the end of the class today. So in any case, before we go on to that, since we are on the topic of this big word ontology, which means the identity of Advaita Acharya, I'd like to recite two verses from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which actually explain who Advaita Acharya is. So this is from the Adi Leela, first chapter, their verses 12 and 13.
Mahavishnu jagatkarta mayayaya srijatyadah tasyavatara evayam advaitacharya ishvarah advaitam harinadvaitad acharyam bhakti shansanat bhaktavataram isham tam advaitacharya mashraye.
So these two verses succinctly explain who Advaita Acharya is. Mahavishnu Jagatkarta. Now we all know who Mahavishnu is. He is the first of the Purusha avatars. He is that expansion of the Supreme Lord who lies in the causal ocean. And as he lays down on his serpent bed, from the pores of his skin, the innumerable universes, material universes, emanate. That Mahavishnu then enters into each universe as Garbhodakashaya Vishnu, who further expands himself as Kshirodakashaya Vishnu, and so on. So, Mahavishnu, Kaviraj Goswami says, is Jagatkarta. He is the master or the creator of the Jagat, which means the universe. And how does he do this act of creation? Or he says, Mayaya Yaha Srijati Adaha. So he performs this act of creating Srijan. Srijan means to create. Srijati, he creates. So Mahavishnu performs this act of creating this material world through the agency of Maya, his external energy, Mayaya. So the Lord creates this entire cosmic manifestation through the agency of his inferior material energy. Tasya avatar evayam. Advaita Acharya Ishvaraha. So tasya, of this, of Mahavishnu, avatara, Advaita Acharya. So this Advaita Acharya is an avatar or an incarnation of this Mahavishnu. And therefore this Advaita Acharya is also Ishvaraha. He is also the Supreme Lord. And then the next verse, the 13th verse says, Advaitam Harinadvaitvad. Harinadvaitad. So he is called Advaita because he is Advaitad Harina. Harina means from Hari. Hari is Krishna. And Advaitad means not different from. So he is called Advaita because he is not different from Hari. Now this, I want to speak for 2 or 3 minutes on this word Advaita, because sometimes amongst devotees there is some confusion about this word Advaita. Whenever we hear the word Advaita, what comes to mind? Immediately the impersonalist philosophy comes to mind. It's called Advaitavad. Vad means philosophy. Or Mayavad. And Vaishnava philosophy really repudiates very strongly the Mayavad conclusions. Right? So devotees don't like this Mayavad conclusion at all. The idea that we can become God is something abominable for a devotee, because then the spirit of service is completely destroyed. If you become one with the Lord, if ever that were possible, it's not possible, but if it ever were possible, then you lose the opportunity to serve the Lord. For a devotee, what is important is the service to the Lord in great devotion. So therefore, the very idea of merging into the Lord and becoming one with Him is hellish. Kaivalyam narakayate. So it's as good as hell. Better to be in hell than to be in a situation where you can't serve the Lord at all. So, Advaita. So why is it called Advaita, this impersonalist philosophy? The word Dvaita means dual, two. Yes, so dual, what is the distinction between? Where is the duality? The duality is between the individual jiva, the living entity, and the Supreme Lord. So there is a duality. There are two. There is the living entity and there is the Lord. So the living entity is one with the Lord in quality, but is not the same as the Lord in quantity. The living entity is very tiny and the Supreme Lord is infinite in every respect. So therefore, the Vaishnava understanding is that there is a distinction, a simultaneous oneness and difference, yes, but there is also importantly a distinction. Whereas the impersonalists say there is no distinction between the jiva and the supreme spiritual Brahman. So they say it's not Dvaita, but it is the opposite of Dvaita, which means Advaita. When you put the word A in front of things in Sanskrit, it gets the meaning becomes opposite. So instead of Dvaita, you get Advaita. So which means that they say, no, there is no distinction between the individual living entity and the Supreme. Which means you are God, I am God, we are all God. That's the idea. So therefore, when a Vaishnava hears of this also, it's not pleasant at all. So then the question arises, why is Advaita Acharya, why do we give a name like this? Why is one of our, why has the Supreme Lord got a name that is Advaita? It's potentially confusing. Another name for Krishna is also Advaita actually. In Brahma Samhita, Krishna, Brahma says, Advaita Machyuta Manadi Mananta Rupam Adhyam Purana Purusham Navayauvanam Cha. So he says that this Govinda, to whom I offer obeisances, is Advaita. He is Achyuta, which means infallible. He is Anadi, which means he doesn't have any origin. And he is Ananta Rupam. He has innumerable expansions of forms. So then what is the meaning of Advaita here? Advaita Machyuta Manadi Mananta Rupam. Sorry for the noise behind. We have a railway track not far from here, and in India, you know, they like blowing horns. So, yeah. So, Prabhupada explains the meaning of the word Advaita. He says he's Advaita because he's non-dual. Non-dual means he's absolute, which means that there is no distinction between his body and his soul. So, for us living in the material world, we are the spirit souls, but we are residing within a material body. So there is a difference here. There is a duality of the soul and the body. But for Krishna, his very soul is the body. His body is the soul. You know, so he is just all spirit. He is all soul, so to speak. So therefore he is Advaita, because there is no duality or distinction between the body and the soul. So this is the reason why Krishna is called Advaita. And because Advaita Acharya is also non-different from the Lord, Harina Advaitad, because he is non-different from Hari, so he's called Advaita also. So in this way we see that there is a Vaishnava understanding of the word Advaita also, which is a far cry from the impersonalist understanding. So therefore, when we say Advaita to refer to Krishna or to refer to Advaita Acharya, now we have a clear distinction between in the context in which we use it, how we mean it, and how the impersonalists use it. So, Advaitam Harina Advaitad. He is called Advaita because he is non-different from Hari. Also, he is called Acharya. No? The full name is Advaita Acharya. So, he is called Advaita, but why is he called Acharya? Bhakti Shamsanath. Shamsanath means to propagate. And because he propagates the path of pure devotional service, he is called Acharya. Acharya is like a great proponent or a great teacher, a great guru, right? So, bhaktavataram isham tam, and he is bhakta avatara. So he is the incarnation of the devotee. You remember the first verse that we chanted, bhaktavataram? So he is the incarnation of the devotee, advaitacharyam ashraye. Ashraye means I take shelter of. So I take shelter of this Advaita Acharya. So in these two verses, therefore, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has explained that Advaita Acharya is the incarnation of Mahavishnu. Yes. Now, there's another interesting aspect to the identity of Advaita Acharya. Sometimes you may have heard of Advaita Acharya as being an expansion of Shiva, and so we wonder, it's kind of confusing. Yes, it is. On the absolute, what happens on the absolute plane is quite inconceivable to the mundane intellect. You know, it is very hard for us to accommodate within our tiny intellectual capacity all that happens on the transcendental plane. So, how is he Sadashiva? So there is a letter which Srila Prabhupada wrote to one gentleman sometime in 1975, and Srila Prabhupada has referred to this elsewhere also, in which he explains that actually there is a personality who is a Vishnu Tattva called Sadashiva. This Sadashiva is an incarnation or an expansion of Mahavishnu, and he resides in the Vaikuntha world. When that Sadashiva, and by the way, where Sadashiva lives, just across the causal ocean, which is called Viraja, you know where Mahavishnu resides in the causal ocean. The causal ocean is the border between the material world and the spiritual world. Now, it's not just like a small river that you can see, you know, just a few meters, 100 meters wide, or even a few kilometers wide. It's massive, unimaginably massive. But nevertheless, it's just called a river, sometimes called an ocean. So Mahavishnu resides there. So just across the Viraja, or this causal ocean, is the spiritual world, the Vaikuntha world. And on this side of it is the material world. So, just across the Viraja in the spiritual world, in the Vaikuntha world, is Shivaloka. Loka means a planet. And that Shivaloka is the abode of this personality called Sadashiva, who is an expansion of Mahavishnu. Uh-oh. Got disconnected. 1 minute. I don't know what happened. No, let that be on. So Facebook viewers, sorry, I've got disconnected from my Zoom call. I'm just trying to reconnect. Just check if the Wi-Fi is on.
It's on.
It's on? Yes. So maybe because, I don't know, what is the reason for? So for devotees on Facebook, kindly bear with us. There is some technical problem. We had some heavy rainfall, maybe because of that. There is some disruption in the internet facility.
Facebook also now it is stopped.
Why is that? No connection?
Same connection, both are using.
Maybe that's it's not able to take the load.
Okay, I will try to switch.
Not connected, it says there's some problem with the internet. So let that be, we can see.
Would that be my internet?
Hmm?
Actually,
just check if it's on the internet.
It is on. Oh, yeah. It is on, but the connection is poor, it's showing red.
So I think what happens is when you start it again, it takes a few minutes to start. Okay, it's starting now. Hare Krishna. Sorry, I am not the supreme controller, so I cannot control the internet connections. I think it is this thunderstorm that has done us in today. Something with the internet facilities got all disrupted. Okay, so shall I resume from where I left off? So I was speaking about the causal ocean, the Viraja River, on the other side of which is Shiva Loka, and there lives Sadashiva, who is actually Vishnu Tattva. He's an expansion of Mahavishnu. He lives there. And he crosses the river and he comes into the material world. He comes in touch with the material world and he becomes Shiva. He expands himself to become Shiva. Of course, he still remains in Shiva Loka eternally as Sadashiva, but an expansion of his comes, crosses the Viraja River, touches, so to speak, the material modes of nature, just like milk being touched by a drop of lime, lemon, and then just like milk becomes yogurt. So now we have Sadashiva, who takes on the form of Shiva in the material world, and he lives in Kailash, which is now on this side of the causal ocean. Okay, so that's how, that is the connection between Sadashiva and Shiva. So, Sadashiva is an expansion of Mahavishnu. And Advaita Acharya, Srila Prabhupada says, is an expansion of Sadashiva from Vaikuntha. So therefore, Prabhupada says, we can also say that Advaita Acharya is an expansion of Mahavishnu. And elsewhere it is said, he is an expansion of Mahavishnu and Sadashiva combined. Sometimes it says it's an expansion of Mahavishnu, sometimes an expansion of Shiva. So where it says it's an expansion of Shiva, we should understand it in this context. Shiva being an expansion of Sadashiva. You know, so we have to see it like that. Now there are many more technical things which are explained in Brahma Samhita and Chaitanya Charitamrita, which I won't go into now, about the efficient cause and the material cause, and how Maya has two aspects and the Lord takes on two aspects, etc. It will become too technical. So in any case, suffice this is, I think, enough for now for the identity of Advaita Acharya. Okay, so enough of heavy philosophy now for now. So Advaita Acharya, as I mentioned, is the Supreme Lord. He has descended here as part of the Panchatattva, as one of the five. And he's actually, in earthly terms, much older than Mahaprabhu. He is 52 years older than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he lived till the age of 125. So when Mahaprabhu departed from this world, he performed his disappearance pastime at the age of 48. Advaita Acharya was exactly 100 years old. So that's interesting. But he lived on for another 25 years. So this is his appearance day. In the Vedic calendar or the Vaishnava calendar, it's called the month of Magh. It's the waxing fortnight called Shukla Paksha. And it's the seventh day of the waxing fortnight in the month of Magh. So it's called Saptami. So it's also called the Advaita Saptami, this particular day. So Advaita Acharya was born in Shantipur. It's not too far from Mayapur, so many of you may have gone there. He had a home in Shantipur and also at Navadvip. He had two homes. And in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, it is described that he visited Vrindavan. And there, this is much before the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he performed a lot of devotional service in Vrindavan. He was constantly absorbed in worshipping Krishna in Vrindavan. And in his meditation, he understood that Krishna was about to appear in Navadvip. And later on, I will describe how Advaita Acharya was instrumental in persuading the Lord to descend as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So any case, since we are with Advaita Acharya in Vrindavan, I can't resist making a brief mention of an interesting and a sweet pastime that happened there, which is that when he was in Gokul Mahavan, the deity of Madan Gopal appeared to him. Another name of Krishna is Madan Gopal. Madan means Cupid. So he said Krishna is the transcendental Cupid and Gopal means the herder of cows. So the deity of Madan Gopal appeared to him, and very blissfully he worshipped the deity as long as he was in Braj. And before his departure, he handed this deity over to a Brahmana from Mathura called Purushottam Chaube. There are some differences of opinion about the exact name. Some give a different name, not Purushottam Chaube. In any case, it doesn't matter. So he handed over this deity to this Brahmana, who was very devoted, and he worshipped him. When Sanatan Goswami, many years later, came to Vrindavan, and he came there, and he got this deity from Purushottam Chaube. And later the deity became known as Madan Mohan. That was Sanatan Goswami's worshipable deity. And then much later he had the Madan Mohan temple constructed, one of the first temples to be constructed in Vrindavan. Anyway, so Advaita Acharya, when he was in Braj, he also came to today what we call the town of Vrindavan. You know, we understand the word Vrindavan in many ways. You know, sometimes the whole Braj is called Vrindavan. Sometimes you may refer to Vrindavan as the forest of Vrindavan, one of the 12 forests, which includes Govardhan, Radhakund, Shyamkund, Nandagram, etc. But generally when we speak of Vrindavan today, we speak of a little municipality town called Vrindavan. So anyway, so Advaita Acharya went there and he stayed under a banyan tree, which later got the name of Advaita Vat. Vat means a banyan tree. And that tree and that resting place of Advaita Acharya is very close to the Madan Mohan temple established by Sanatan Goswami. So anyway, so this is about Advaita Acharya in Vrindavan. So he came back to Mayapur, understanding that sometime Krishna would appear in Vrindavan. At some point, the great Acharya Madhavendra Puri, who would later on also initiate Ishwar Puri, happened to pass through Bengal, and he also met Advaita Acharya. Advaita Acharya was greatly influenced by the devotion and the exalted spiritual status of Madhavendra Puri, and he accepted initiation from him. So Advaita Acharya took initiation from Madhavendra Puri. So therefore, he is a godbrother of Advaita, of Ishwara Puri. And that's the reason why, apart from the fact that he was much older in age, 52 years old, but he was also the godbrother of his spiritual master. So anyway, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains that Madhavendra Puri was the seedling of the whole Krishna consciousness movement. And that seedling sprouted in the form of Ishwara Puri. And then from that seed, the sprouted seed, came the trunk of the tree, which was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that trunk had two divisions. One was Nityananda Prabhu and the other was Advaita Acharya. So, this is the importance of Advaita Acharya. But as time passed, he began to see what was happening everywhere, and it caused him enormous distress, because everything around was very, very materialistic. Even though he lived in Shantipur and then Navadvip as well, Navadvip, you might recall, was a place of great learning. It was a place which was almost completely occupied only by Brahmanas. So there was a great atmosphere of learning, of schools, and discussion on Shastra and so on going on. But because most of these so-called scholars and Brahmanas were not devotees of the Lord, they were mostly involved in ritualistic activities like worshipping the demigods, etc. There was not a hint of any devotional service going on there. So in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Vrindavan Das Thakur has explained this quite elaborately. Vrindavan Das Thakur explains that there was absolutely no question of bhakti. And even if there was any kind of chanting of the names of Krishna, it was only done kind of as a formality, as a ritual, just as when Brahmanas bathe in the Ganga, they say Pundarikaksha Govinda, you know, it's the name of Krishna. Pundarika means a lotus, Aksha means eye. So the lotus-eyed Govinda. But they say it just as a formality, you know, just like you meet people, you say, how are you? You know, it's just something you do. You don't really, you know, it's not, you don't say it with so much of a heart unless you have a special relationship with that devotee. So they would say it just mechanically, ritualistically, and most of them were worshippers of demigods, and they would worship the demigods and staying up all night, and they did not like worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead at all. In the Chaitanya Bhagavat, it's explained that these Brahmanas, even though they were supposedly so scholarly, they didn't exhibit any spiritual qualities. They would always speak ill of others. And even those who were kind of detached and renounced from the world, they were hard-hearted because they were not devotees. So they were proud of their austerities, proud of their renunciation. So therefore there was nothing resembling spirituality in that place of quote-unquote learning. And this pained the Vaishnavas there very much. And even those who were kind of reciting Srimad Bhagavatam would do that without understanding the true purport of it, without understanding that the purpose of Bhagavatam was to become a pure devotee of Krishna. And whenever they did it, they would do it to earn a livelihood, they would do it to get money. So Advaitacharya and the devotees were extremely distressed by seeing this terrible condition. And Advaitacharya understood that any incarnation of the Lord is not going to do. If the Brahmanas are in this condition, what to speak of the others? It has to be a full incarnation. It can't be a partial incarnation. So then he started, having daily satsangs. Satsangs means, spiritual gatherings. And he would glorify Krishna. He would speak every day from the Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita. Actually, it's also mentioned in the Chaitanya Bhagavat that one time he was perplexed a little bit about a particular verse from the Bhagavad Gita, and Krishna in his dream came and actually gave him the true meaning of it. We don't have time to go into discuss that verse. So in any case, he started speaking from Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam and other Vaishnava scriptures. And he would hold kirtan. And then they would all come together and express grief at the condition of people around them. And this was the only solace in their life, that they would come together with Advaita Acharya and hear and chant about Krishna. So every day Advaita Acharya now began to fervently call out the names of Krishna. And he would offer, excuse me. He would offer tulsi manjaris, manjari is a bud. So he would offer tulsi manjaris or tulsi leaves at the lotus feet of Krishna, along with a little water from the Ganga. He had a Shaligram Shila. So, and Brahmanas traditionally worship the Shaligram Shila. So then he would do that. And in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we find a verse that comes, that appears on some occasions there. Tulasi dalamatrena jalasya chulukena va vikrinite svamatmanam bhaktibhyo bhaktavatsalaha. Advaita Acharya would chant this verse when he prayed to Krishna very fervently. He loudly called out Krishna's names and beseeched him to appear. And he tried to tell him, look, it's an SOS call. It's really an urgent call. You have to come. Please descend. Just see the condition of people around me. Look at these so-called Brahmanas. So please come. And he used to chant many verses. And this verse was one of the verses that he chanted every single day. So what does this verse mean? Tulasi dala matrena. Dala means a leaf. And matrena means only. So tulasi dala matrena jalasya, jala means water, chulukena va, as much water as you can accommodate in the little palm of your hand, jalasya chulukena va vikrinite svam atmanam bhaktebhyo bhaktavatsala. So Krishna is willing to sell himself, vikrinite svam atmanam, to bhaktebhyah, to his devotees, because he is Bhakta Vatsala, because he is very affectionate to his devotees. One of the names of Krishna is Bhakta Vatsala, one who is very affectionate to his devotees. The word Vatsala comes from the word Vatsa. Vatsa means a calf. Just as a cow is very affectionate to her calf, similarly the Supreme Lord is very affectionate to his devotees. Therefore he is called Bhakta Vatsala. And because Krishna is Bhakta Vatsala, that is, the devotees are so dear to him, naturally he is unable to bear the grief of his devotees. So when he saw Advaita Acharya in particular, and the other devotees also in great grief, Krishna could not tolerate it. So therefore he was obliged to appear. So Krishna, whenever Krishna appears, he appears for multiple reasons. And so also it was with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But that is a topic for another day. Why did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appear? But one of the reasons for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance was the fervent please, P-L-E-A-S, please. Yeah, please come. That also, yeah. But, you know, his fervent please to Krishna to descend into the world. So therefore, Dvaita Acharya has played a very important role. We have to be very grateful to him for facilitating the advent of the Yuga Avatar for this age, which means who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, when Advaita Acharya used to have his daily classes, when he would speak Krishna Katha and elaborate on various verses, many devotees used to come. And one of those who came was Vishwarup, who was the older son of Jagannath Mishra and Shachimata, which means he was the older brother of Nimai Pandit, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Vishwarup became so influenced, so captivated by the teachings and the devotion of Advaita Acharya that eventually he just disappeared from home. He took sannyas and went away. And after that, Jagannath Mishra also could not, he left his body after some time, actually. And then Shachimata was in great distress because she lost her older son, she lost her husband, and she only had this little boy, Nimai. And when it was obvious that Nimai was a brilliant scholar, so now she started becoming afraid that if Nimai starts understanding too much of transcendental knowledge, she's also going to leave. So what's going to happen? So in her mind, she never verbalized it, but in her mind, she just bore a little grudge. It's because of Advaita Acharya that my son took sannyas and left home. And actually, Mahaprabhu, being the Supreme Lord and being seated in everybody's heart, understood this. He knew how glorious Advaita Acharya was, and he made it a point to remind his mother that what she had done was a great Vaishnava aparadha. And it was only when she went and begged forgiveness and fell at the feet of Advaita Acharya, of course Advaita Acharya would never have knowingly accepted that, but she did it without his knowledge. And then when she expressed remorse and she offered obeisances to Advaita Acharya, did Mahaprabhu actually forgive her in that sense? So this is a small interesting pastime that happened there. But so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to always consider Advaita Acharya in that very exalted capacity, for reasons that I have mentioned earlier. Now, Advaita Acharya didn't like it one bit, because he only considered Mahaprabhu as his master, and he really wanted Mahaprabhu to accept him as his servant. So then he had to resort to some transcendental trickery to achieve his goal. So he knew how upset Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would get whenever he heard any impersonalistic explanations of the Vedic scriptures. So, in order to incite him to, he actually started speaking on the Yoga Vashishtha, which is a scripture which has impersonalistic conclusions. So he was a scholar anyway, Advaita Acharya, so it is not difficult for him to elucidate or to speak on these teachings. But he started speaking impersonalist conclusions, and sure enough, it wasn't long before the word spread and it reached Mahaprabhu's ears. And Mahaprabhu flew into a rage, and he rushed to the place where, to Advaita Acharya, and he started beating him. How dare you, do this? And Advaita Acharya was in great ecstasy. I'm only summarizing the pastimes in the Chaitanya Bhagavata and Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's all explained in so much detail. So Advaita Acharya was in great ecstasy because, and he said, now my life is successful. that it is only when someone chastises one that one understands that that person has accepted one as his servant. So therefore, this was his way of getting Mahaprabhu to act in a very familiar way with him. And not just familiar, to actually chastise him. And then Mahaprabhu understood the trick. Oh my God, what have I done? Advaita has tricked me. And then Mahaprabhu began to feel great remorse about it. But then nothing could be done because it was the damage had been done. From Advaita Acharya's point of view, it was the perfection of his life. So in this way, Advaita fulfilled his desire of being accepted as a servant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And I'll wind up with one small pastime. Whilst he was living in Navadvip and performing his devotional leela, Mahaprabhu would gather at various places, sometimes at Srivas Thakur's place, sometimes elsewhere on the streets, and he would chant the holy names along with his devotees. One time it so happened that the son of Advaita Acharya, one of the sons, whose name was Gopal, somehow fell to the ground and his life force left his body. In other words, he passed away. And Advaita Acharya was stunned, and he kept him there on his lap and tried to revive him and so on. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just went there, and by his touch he revived Gopal again and performed this transcendental miracle. All the devotees there were struck with wonder. So in this way, Advaita Acharya was a very, very important and intimate participant in the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, particularly in Navadvip. After Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, he went to Jagannath Puri, and the devotees didn't accompany him there. Only a few did, but most of them stayed back in Jagannath, in Navadvip and Shantipur and wherever they were from. It is approximately only 3 years later, I believe, that they went to Jagannath Puri for the first time to meet him. And from then on, they started going there every year, whenever Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Puri. And Advaita Acharya would also go there with him. So Advaita Acharya performed many, many pastimes along with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu and the other devotees. So today on his appearance day, we can pray to his lotus feet that he may grant us even an atomic fragment of pure devotion by which our lives will become successful. That atomic fragment is like an unlimited ocean of devotion for us. So that will be the perfection of our life. So on his appearance day today, we can do that. It is generally said that on somebody's birthday, you know, somebody becomes very big-hearted. Advaita Acharya, in any case, is a very merciful personality. He's part of the Panchatattva. And today, on his appearance day, he will be even more merciful. So it's a golden opportunity for us to approach his lotus feet and seek his blessings so that we may become successful in our Krishna consciousness. Srila Advaita Acharya ki jai. Sri Advaita Acharya appearance day celebrations ki jai. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you very much. Oh, I see. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. Thank you very much. And all of you devotees there in that area, very fortunate that you have Lakshmi Moni Mataji in your midst. Do take the advantage of her association. There's a lot you can learn. I can also learn. But you are there close by. So please, please do take advantage and assist her in the preaching endeavor in that region. So thank you all very much. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Okay, thank you very much. Okay, thank you, Devendra, Haribol.
Is there any more understanding like Advaita,
I
mean, there is no second one like him?
Yes. That also. Okay. Second to none.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yes. Thank you, Raj.